Alrighty, we are catching up with Chantal Di Gouveia now, who is an associate in the employment law practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. And according to the SA Federation for Mental Health, about 13% of South African employees live with a diagnosed mental health condition. And yet employers navigating the line between supporting mental wellness and enforcing performance standards can be complex, or rather for employers. Chantal, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm great, thanks, and you? Thanks for having me, Bridget.
Only but a pleasure. We appreciate the time. I mean, 13% of South African employees live with a diagnosed mental health, and I always stir on the side of caution because I almost feel like that is 13% of people who have shared.
Yeah,
probably a larger number of people who have not shared. And it speaks to the prevalence, though, still of mental health issues in the workplace.
Yes, absolutely. So we are.
All right, we're going to try and get Chantal back again on the line. Seems like there was a drop from an unintentional drop from her side. It's gone 20 past. 22 rather. It's 22, 2 o'clock on this fine Thursday afternoon. I didn't realize that Inkatha Freedom Party, just as a side note, a little caveat, I didn't realize that Inkatha Freedom Party is celebrating their 50th anniversary. How, well, what a milestone. It'd be interesting to also reflect back on the party and its history and legacy at some point. All right, we've got Chantal back. Chantal, we were saying, you know, this data speaks to the prevalence of mental health issues in the workplace.
Absolutely. And Bridget, we're actually seeing quite an influx of these types of cases that pop up. We're seeing a lot more awareness and a lot more employees opening up about their mental health issues.
When can employees start sort of using their mental health status as a defense against poor performance, right? Because a lot of times in these conversations, there's that question of folks would not share that they have some kind of mental health issue that they're dealing with because for the stigma that's attached, the association with performance or lack of performance, that becomes part and parcel of the conversation.
Absolutely. So for an employee to rely on that as a defense, they would need to show that there's a link between whatever condition that they have and the poor performance. So in other words, if they did not have this mental illness, their performance would be normal or perfect.
And how do you go about doing that? Like, how do is there practice, some kind of expectation as to that process? Walk us through that.
So what we would normally see, and usually we would get this at a disciplinary hearing stage, employees would present medical certificates or they would raise issues with their line managers to state that they are undergoing psychological evaluation, that they're being medicated, and the employer would ordinarily ask for a medical certificate, and that usually initiates the process or investigation.
In cases where one perhaps is having some performance challenges, right, while they're grappling with their own mental health, but they don't want to disclose or feel like they should disclose. What then happens in those instances where perhaps you do feel like there should be some patience and leeway given to you, but you also don't fully want to really share what could be going on in that moment?
The difficulty is that as an employee suffering from a mental illness, the onus would be on you to raise this as a defense. And ordinarily when these things start to pop up or where the employee is forced to speak up is at the disciplinary stage. So often cases we'd be asked to chair a poor performance inquiry, and at that stage the employee would say, listen, I haven't wanted to raise it as an issue because obviously it is a sensitive issue in South Africa. And they would raise that as a defense, which would usually alert the employer, who would sometimes say, look, we never knew this was an issue.
I see. Have there been perhaps recent cases that have been brought up for, you know, in front of tribunals or relative bodies, and perhaps some interesting judgments in as far as this is concerned?
Yes, absolutely. So the most recent one I actually wrote an alert on is the Arbels case, and it was before the Labour Court, and it was also for poor performance, and the court found that the employee could not show a causal link between the poor performance and the mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are definitely seeing mixed judgments in this regard.
And then how do employers navigate mental health when it comes to the workplace? I mean, I presume it's also a little bit of a precarious situation for employers to navigate.
Absolutely. So what we would normally start off is, don't overcomplicate things. Set clear targets for your employees and timelines. Put everything in writing and offer as much support as possible. Mm. So where you can reasonably accommodate your employee, you should do so, and you are legally obligated to do so.
Okay. Any tips, just finally, any tips for employers, you know, just to sort of build some kind of inclusive, tolerant work environment, or maybe, I don't know, policies, programs that they could consider?
So I think what's important is to keep check with your team, and if you see that someone's performance is dipping, to just have a discussion with them and say, look, we understand that, you know, your personal life will absolutely have an effect on your employment. Mm. And if you are going through a difficult time, here's someone who you can speak to. Ordinarily, an employer will have some HR process or, you know, someone that deals with mental health. And you always make that option available to your employees, and just know that you will support them throughout whatever process they need to go through.
Mm. Chantal, we appreciate the time. That was Chantal De Gouveia, associate in the employment law practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. It's approaching 10:02, but not quite there as yet. We're going to take a quick break.